bad. Everybody seems to nag me. Coming Tuesday, I feel better. Even my own man looks good. Wednesday just don't go. Thursday goes too slow.
News Talk 1340 KROC AM. Good morning. I'm Andy Brownell. Rochester today on a chilly Friday morning. Beautiful sunshine. Tom Ostrom's here as well. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Andrew.
You were all bundled up for the walkover.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just like it's winter still.
It is. Yes.
Well, I guess we got a lot to talk about today, so we better jump to the mailbag right away and get moving, as they say.
Yeah, we got domestic, we got foreign. You jump in, Andrew, with what's on your creative mind. I just want to say in the mailbag, a caller called last time and wondered when we were talking about Republican candidates why we didn't mention Marco Rubio, and that's a time element. It certainly wasn't any negative conclusion on our parts. Marco Rubio, the Florida U.S. Senator, he was Speaker of the House in the Florida House, and he's had great experience. He's articulate. He's got a great demeanor. He's well-informed. He's popular. And of course, that Hispanic or Cuban background of his might have attraction. And Kasich, too, of Ohio, a moderate and a successful governor. People say Cruz... he's like Obama. He's only been a senator. He hasn't had experience in running anything. But he was the Solicitor General of Texas. That's the top representative of the judicial system. And he argued cases in the Supreme Court. Cruz did and won several of them. So certainly Kasich is good. And you like Kasich, too, or you were positive about him, Andy. And certainly Rubio's good. I think Republicans have a pretty good deep bench. I'm beginning to wonder if Hillary can last and if she'll have a contender of someone in the primaries. Many Democrats say we need a primary. We can't have a coronation. Huh. So I'll say to the caller, we didn't certainly mean to be negative about Rubio. Just can't cover everything on the radio.
And part of this as well, just dirty little secret here. We're winging it. We weren't even prepared to talk about presidential politics when we began that discussion. Yeah. And next thing you know, we're going down a list of candidates. So that was both of us completely working right off the top of our heads.
And the tyranny of the clock on radio. You can't cover everything or think of everything. But a good bench, I think.
Speaking of presidential politics, let's switch over to the Democratic side. This O'Malley guy that's certainly starting to get a lot of press. Is he, North Carolina, South Carolina?
One of the Carolinas. He's good.
He's in Iowa, and I guess he's quite the speaker.
He's effective and experienced. I think the parties need. Elizabeth Warren, a Harvard professor, she's popular too, and she's that left wing progressive populist that some Democrats insist on having.
So, but it's interesting.
I hope it'll be a more interesting race than with just Hillary if she runs. She's got so many problems now, including Bill. That I wonder if she'll lose her enthusiasm or her support.
With Warren, her message about the corruption of Wall Street and Washington, the connection between the Beltway and Wall Street, a lot of it, I think, is right on the mark. Her solutions to it, I don't agree with, but her identification of that problem, I think, is worthy. But she is already getting some flack, I guess would be the word, with her... once again, she's right on the mark with her criticisms of higher education, the unbelievable tuition expenses, the fees, the much higher than the rate of inflation increases in the cost in recent years. Now, over the past 2 to 3 years, a lot of the higher ed institutions have finally taken note and they've held the line on tuitions in a lot of ways. They've increased fees, on the other hand, and there's rising costs in other aspects of it, but at least the rate of growth has slowed considerably over the last few years. But at the same time, Warren makes, I think, $400,000 a year, or did make $400,000 a year at Harvard.
Yeah.
And you tell me that doesn't contribute to the high cost of education?
Oh, that's right. And the top-heavy administration to cope with mandates and federal law and federal involvement in the schools and federal loans, all of that contributes. But you're right, top-heavy administration. But And then she's going to be in trouble unless people don't care when she claimed Cherokee heritage and high cheekbones proved it. And,
she's got
minority
baggage.
Status. And her husband has business interests. Yeah, she has lots of money for a populist.
But some of her message I really appreciate, at least the identification of some of the problems we've faced.
I do, too. I was against the federal bailout of banks. I thought too big to fail is baloney. It's a marketplace. If they blundered, let them fail. And Obama fed them and helped them. So did Bush. Yeah. I was against that.
Well, a lot of the highest-ranking members of his administration on the financial side were directly tied to Wall Street.
That's right. And on the,
but he's not, you know, every administration has done it. So
that's right. And on the political side, too, Senate Democrat leader Harry Reid, the former Senate Majority Leader, now Minority Leader after the last election, I think that's one reason maybe. He's announced retirement, the obstructionist, the guy that parliamentary rule knowledge made him block anything that Republicans sent to him, and then he complained the Republicans were obstructionists or not contributing. He was badly injured exercising. Maybe he has reassessed the election and his health, but he had two close elections. He's getting increasingly unpopular, but he's going to retire back to Nevada, and I think that's a good thing.
I bet you do. All right, it's 17 past 10. We have to take our break. We've got tons to talk about here at KROC AM. Tom Ostrom's here. I'm Andy Brownell. Roscoe's Root Beer and Ribs. It's Friday. The famous fish fry at Roscoe's on a Lenten Friday at the root beer stand. I know it might be a little bit chilly, but they'll have that batter fried cod nice and piping hot for you, along with some fries or whatever sides you want. I mean, you could get the fish and you can get whatever delicious Roscoe side you want with it. That's at the root beer stand on 4th Street Southeast. It is open.
It is open. And there's a little cafe-like place inside to sit if you want to sit there in. Or your car. Turn on the heater and enjoy in the car. Watch the traffic go by. Roscoe's gift cards, catering, wonderful barbecue pork and then, of course, the pulled chicken. And as you said, Andy, the wonderful sides. And graduation dates are coming along. So if you're going to have a lawn party or house party, Roscoe's can handle it. But, yeah, the fish fry. We're still in Lent, and that always tastes good.
That is absolutely correct. At the Root Beer Stand location, Roscoe's Root Beer and Ribs on 4th Street Southeast.
Weather Eye Forecast on News Talk 1340, KROC AM.
It is brought to you by Truckin' America. Are you making plans for summer? If so, then toppers, lids, tonneau covers, hitches, or maybe even some contractor equipment should be on your list. Truckin' America in Rochester and truckinamerica.com, the automotive aftermarket experts. Sunshine today, we're looking for a high in the low 30s. Another chilly night tonight with a low in the teens. We'll warm up a bit tomorrow. Sunshine, low 40s, a low near 30 Saturday night. We get to Sunday, chance of some scattered rain showers with a high in the upper 40s. A mix of rain and snow possible on Monday in the morning, because in the afternoon it's going to warm into the mid-50s. High near 60 Tuesday, 60 again on Wednesday with a chance of some scattered showers Wednesday. Right now downtown, beautiful sunshine and very little wind. We're at 26 degrees at KROC AM, 20 minutes past 10. I'm Andy Brownell. Tom Ostrom's here. Our number is 282-1234 if you want to join the program and a caller. Tom has been on hold all the way through the break. Good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Yes, I don't mean to change your topic or anything, but you've mentioned a couple times that one of the politicians from somewhere went and says, well, the previous administration has done it, so why can't we do it? I think, where is the integrity of our elected politicians? We elect those people to go up and do the, you know, for them to exercise their will. But the problem is that they're always using, because it was done before, it can be done now. It's not that there's no integrity on just because someone did something bad in a previous administration doesn't give you or give them right to go and do the same thing. I can take my answer off the air. I just got it off my chest. So.
Well, I agree with you completely.
Thank you.
Yeah. And, you know, I agree with you completely, too. And the Democrats get so desperate, they say, well, Bush did it, too. They despise Bush. They thought he was incompetent. Oh, but he did it, so it must be okay. But I've said this before. Senator Irvin was going after Richard Nixon in the Watergate hearings. and the spokespeople, Nixon's minions, were being grilled, and they kept saying, well, what Nixon did, I don't care if it's taping conversations or eavesdropping or what, other presidents did it too. And Sam Ervin, the segregationist, but the Democrats love him anyway, forgetting about that part of his history. Sam Ervin, the North Carolina Democrat, looked at one of the Nixon representatives in the hearings and said, well, you say other people did it too, now forget it. But he said, Cain, since Cain and Abel, there have been murders. That mean the next murderer we catch, we let go free? Your caller hit the nail on the head. I get so tired of that, too.
Yeah, I guess what I would like to point out, though, when I was saying the connection between Wall Street and the Beltway has existed in previous administrations, what I'm trying to do is also criticize the previous administration for that,
sure,
as well.
Sure.
I'm not trying to give anybody a walk on it.
No,
I think it's atrocious. No. I think it's been a growing problem, and I don't think it's gotten better, let's put it that way, in this administration. In a lot of ways, you might argue it's gotten worse, because if you look at the policies of the Federal Reserve as far as our monetary policies right now, long term, I got to believe they're harmful. I think by extending these almost zero interest rates out the way they have, we're creating a bubble in the equities markets that it's going to be difficult to deal with when it finally comes to, you know, when you finally got to pump up the rates to what a market rate should be and have it reflect reality. Number one, our federal deficit payments or debt payments as part of the federal budget will go through the roof, because right now we're paying essentially no interest on those payments. And number two, the money's going to move out of the equities market and into other instruments, and that's going to cause a crash on Wall Street, which will affect the, what do they call it, the perceived wealth effect, where everybody looks at their 401k statements and they think, hey, let's go on vacation, we're doing really well, and all of a sudden you're not, and then that has it can march you towards a recession pretty quickly, mm-hmm. because consumer spending goes into the crapper.
Oh, sure. And then in addition to what you said, the Fed not only sets interest rates, but it's the catalyst for the printing of money, which also lowers the value of the dollar with supply and demand and surplus. So Rand Paul and his father wanted to look into the Fed, and see if it could be reformed, and he's been resisted. But that's right, a lot of secret power that organization
has. You know what's scary to me, Thomas? Rand Paul is looking more and more attractive to me.
Mm-hmm.
I read about him and the things he talks about. I don't know if he's actually qualified to be president of the United States, but at least I like the issues he's bringing to the
forefront.
Yeah,
well, he hasn't.
Not all the issues, but a lot of them.
Well, yeah, and he is he's an interesting fellow, no question about it.
282-1234, good morning. You're on KROC.
Good morning.
Morning.
Hi.
I'd like to point out something in terms of historical perspective on the banking crisis we had. In 1932, Congress passed and FDR signed the Glass-Steagall Act, and that act prohibited community banks, investment banks, insurance companies, brokerage firms from joining together. You know, that's part of what created the Great Depression. Then, in 1999, Congress passed the Gramm-Leach-Bliley Act, which President Clinton signed,
yep.
and everybody backed this, which, in effect, Gramm-Leach-Bliley repealed the Glass-Steagall Act.
There were a few people out there in the woods screaming, this is not a good idea.
Right.
Hardly anybody. The vote
You're
in the
right.
U.S. Senate was 90-8 in favor of it, and in the House, it was 75% of Democrats and Republicans supported it. And actually, John McCain and Elizabeth Warren have said, we need a new Glass-Steagall Act, and they've co-sponsored a bill.
I agree with them.
Well, that's good. Thanks for the economic history lesson, and you're right. Banks were allowed to be everything beside being banks, and that got us into trouble. But a good summary. Thank you.
And I believe that Governor O'Malley was former mayor of Maryland, and governor of Maryland and mayor of Baltimore. And he stated in Iowa he's worried about one Republican who's on the horizon who could be a problem. Tom Ostrom.
Oh.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's right. O'Malley is Maryland.
Great punchline.
A lot of Irish Catholics in Maryland. Well, the great call. Thank you. Good humor, too.
Good morning. You're on KROC. Hi, good morning. Hello.
Hello.
Are you there? Good morning. You're on KROC. We'll try one more time. Good morning. You're on KROC. Thanks for calling in. 3, 2, 1. Okay. That's all the patience I have. We're almost have to take our break for news. So before we dive into some of this foreign affairs things, I'm going to just bring up one very quickly, an item that it's on the statewide scale and actually locally, too. And it's kind of interesting because we always talk about welfare programs, programs to aid the low-income side of our society, social services, and then corporate welfare. And I've seen a overlap here, and it's kind of interesting to watch how the debate works. And it's on two levels, housing and the minimum wage. On the housing side of it, we're talking about the possibility of a new levy at the county level that would help leverage some other funds that would be used for affordable housing initiatives. And the argument is we need this affordable housing because we're going to have this influx of workers through DMC, and they'll have no place to live because our stock of affordable housing is limited. Fact, that's a fact. I'm not arguing with that fact. But that not only is what you would consider a social program to aid lower-income residents, it's also corporate welfare because the businesses that are hiring these people are receiving a subsidy because they will not have to pay them the wage that they would need to earn in order to purchase or rent property at market rates. And on the minimum wage side of it, you have businesses in the hospitality industry, particularly restaurants, but those with tipped employees arguing that they should be able to pay a lower wage to keep their costs down because their tipped employees are actually doing really, really well. In some cases, arguing that you have some skillful tipped employees who can do $30, $40 an hour on a good day with their tipped employees. Well, in that case, at that wage level, they don't need affordable housing. They can afford market rate housing. So it's kind of interesting to see the two arguments colliding with each other and the two issues of corporate welfare and the other type of social programs.
That's very true. And another element of hypocrisy in the money game, that evil 1% the Democrats talk about, they nonetheless have campaign funds and drives, and President Obama and others visit them and want their money.
Yes.
Their money is fine. Hey, wealthy people, give us your money. But your evil, will say during the campaign. I always get a kick out of that, too. But why wealthy people give anything to the Obama administration, I don't know. And I would say there are more millionaires in the Congress that are Democrats than that are Republicans. So a lot of hypocrisy there, too, about attacking the rich, the class warfare, jealousy, stimulation. People should see through that, too.
All right, Thomas, we have to take a break for news. 26 in the downtown at KROC AM. We'll be back, and we'll take more of your calls right after the news break. Kim David is in the news center. He is up next on KROC AM. News Talk 1340 KROC AM. Good morning. Andy Brownell with Tom Ostrom. It's Rochester Today on a Friday. 282-1234 is our phone number. And Thomas, we've had at least three callers holding very patiently all the way through the news break, so we'll waste absolutely no time at all getting back to the phones. Good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hi.
Morning.
Well, staying on the domestic, before you go to foreign affairs, the attack ads on Hillary almost write themselves. The only question is whether they wait to start them until she's inevitable and there's no other acceptable candidate declared. Yeah, you know, the 3 o'clock phone call from Benghazi. What does it matter? I need my beauty sleep.
Yeah.
Talking to a broker about cattle future trades, that should be an interesting conversation. And that's just the start.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that must be the easiest job in the campaign, writing those.
But the interesting thing is her polling numbers, despite all this, yeah, are still excellent.
Don't understand it. Well, that's, I think, the...
The ads haven't started yet.
That's true.
Fanatical Democrats, I think. And then she instructed the press and made fun of them, saying she's not going to release any information to them. And then her team, in addition to what you said, very interesting things that I hope the Republicans remember and bring up, she gave reporters a list of words and concepts they are not allowed to say to her, or it's sexist. And a lot of them are political commentary and past speculations about ethical problems.
They're adjectives.
Yeah. But anyway, do you think the mainstream media is getting tired of her, or are they going to give her a pass, do you think?
The New York Times has taken a couple of whacks.
Uh-huh.
But I'm going to go back to, if you look at the polling, I know time you say fanatical Democrats, but in general, people have a favorable impression of Hillary Clinton.
Yeah,
they do.
I don't understand.
But they're too young to remember.
But you know what? They're old enough to vote.
Yeah, but they haven't been reminded by the ads, and there will be ads.
Oh, yes, there will be.
And you remind me of something else. Other people have done it, is what they say, to get out of things, but then when things in the past are uncomfortable, they say, that's old news.
Yeah.
So who cares about the past?
That's sexist. Watch out. You can't use that.
Oh, my. Yes.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for your cynical observations.
Good morning. You're on KROC.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hello.
I want to complain a little bit. It's about the Ted Cruz. He gave a really good speech about sticking up for the Constitution and our borders and our way of life. And then I opened the paper, and they're just running him down as a wacko bird. I mean, he only gave one speech and just started. Why don't they listen? Why are they so against the hardworking people who support all these people?
It's these crazy extremists in the Tea Party, like Tom Ostrom.
Yeah. Well, no, we don't attack them.
I'm just saying these,
according to the Post Bulletin.
Yeah. Well. But they're going after him because they're afraid of him. You're right. He's brilliant. Dershowitz, the Harvard lawyer, said he was the most brilliant student Dershowitz ever had and the best debater. And Cruz argued cases before the Supreme Court, the Solicitor General of Texas, and won them. You're right. They're very afraid of him. They're trying to Saul Alinsky-ize him right off out of the mark. But do you get the impression I do, caller? Republicans seem incapable of defending each other. Plus, they're at each other's throats anyway. But why can't the Republicans defend themselves better and go after these journalists that ask these gotcha questions?
Yes, why? I agree that the mainline Republicans have no backbone. They just want to get along. They're the same as Democrats. And they hate the Tea Party because they're the old Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
Why does the Post Bulletin, which you pay to get, and the first time he comes out for all the things I'm for, they have to call him names and try and... But why is the Post Bulletin? Don't they care what their people in this area do?
I wish I could give you an answer, but
yeah,
I can't.
I think they're part of the...
You make some great points.
You make some good points. You should run for office.
I thought of it. Okay, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
You
thanks
too.
For calling in. Call in again, please.
Yeah.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye. Yeah, boy.
You know, you brought up the Saul Alinsky, and our caller pointed out that he was labeled extremist, and I was at the bowling alley last night, my usual Thursday night ritual, and having a conversation about this horrible plane crash in the French Alps. And somebody had heard a report that this co-pilot, who I'm going to use the term allegedly because it appears as if he purposely flew the plane into the moon, and incomprehensible the actions. And this person said, "Yeah, I saw someplace on the internet that he was a German extremist." And I said, "Now I go, what does that even mean anymore?"
Yeah.
I mean, the label extremist is so generic, and it's thrown about. So, you know, is he ISIS? What does that mean? Does it mean that he He's a Nazi? Doesn't mean I don't even know. You just apply this label to almost anything. I mean, that's how far the label goes. It goes all the way from people who chop heads off in the middle of the desert and burn prisoners alive in cages, all the way to a guy like Ted Cruz who gives a speech at Liberty University. It's almost lost meaning.
Well, it has. And you know, the mainstream media doesn't use the word liberal when they define Democrats, but they use extremist and conservative and right wing when they define Republicans, and they don't call anybody on the left an extremist. There's a socialist member of Congress from New England, and he's a socialist. He's a member of the Socialist Party. They call him an independent, but the label usage is rampant, and maybe, as you suggest, it's losing its meaning.
282-1234. Good morning. You're on KROC.
Good morning.
Morning.
Hi.
I got to be totally off the record. I just got an email from my university in Wisconsin. We're in the Final Four in hockey. We're playing here in Minnesota tonight.
And nobody's talking about
Wisconsin, it. Stevens Point. I like you guys. Keep up the good work.
Thanks for the sports tip.
Thanks for the sports.
I'm a golfer fan, so tough luck on that
one. But he's a Wisconsin fan, our caller. He loves the Packers,
too. Wisconsin won their game of basketball last night, too. So a little bit of jealousy there, that's for sure. 26 degrees downtown. Tom, we're going to take a really quick break, and we're going to talk about what's going on in the Middle East. And I'm going to use the term schizophrenic when I describe the United States is the United States policies at this point regards what's going on in the Middle East. I know you're going to be able to elaborate on that with some of the stuff that has been happening over there. We'll take the break. We'll be right back, and we'll have more. You can call in as well at 282-1234 right after this break on KROC AM.
Now, your Weather Eye forecast on News Talk 1340, KROC AM.
It's brought to you by Mystic Lake Casino. Celebrate Easter with a holiday feast at Mystic Lake's award-winning buffet. Open 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Easter Sunday with complimentary champagne and mimosas. Details at mysticlake.com. We're expecting a high today of only 32 degrees, all the way down to 15 again tonight. And then it gets a little bit better, at least temperature-wise. Low 40s with sunshine Saturday. Should get up to about 50 on Sunday. Have a chance of rain on Sunday. A chance of a rain mix with snow, at least Monday morning. But Monday's high 55. A beautiful day Tuesday, sunshine and 60. And a chance of rain on Wednesday with a high of about 60 degrees. Right now, it is sunny and it is 27 here in downtown Rochester. KROC-AM. 13 minutes away from 11 o'clock. And, Tom, you know this new sporting goods store opening up in a couple weeks out of the Patchy Mall Shields. And we have a little contest going on that you and a guest, could be the first to get into the store at Apache Mall on Saturday, April 11th. And the winner of this contest will receive a goodie bag from Shields, as well as Town Square Media, and a $100 gift card for Shields. And this is what you can do. Just go to our website, KROCAM.com. Look for Win Stuff right along the top row there. Go down there and it says Shields First Through the Door Giveaway, and you click to enter and you fill it out and you can get in on that contest and be the first in the store with that $100 gift card. So thought I'd let you in on that, because that's just brand new on the website right now on KROCAM.com. Okay, the Middle East. I don't even know where to start on this. Yemen. Okay, the Yemeni president, who is backed by the United States, has to flee because the Shiite militia are chasing him across the country. We have our guy in the State Department get up there and speak as if this is not even happening. I couldn't believe the statement he was giving. Well, we're not achieving the progress that we had hoped to achieve at this point. What do you mean? You have a complete collapse of the government that was U.S.-backed in that part of the world. Yeah. You have a country that is falling into absolute chaos and becoming an al-Qaeda stronghold. Okay, then we have Iranian militia or Iranian Revolutionary Guard armed militias or even Revolutionary Guard soldiers. We don't know for sure. Fighting along with Iraqi regulars and Shiite militia within Iraq against ISIS trying to take Tikrit, and then we're going to run airstrikes on that. And we have our advisors working closely with some of these militia and the Iraqi army with the Iranians. The Iranians being Shiite, the Shiite forcing the collapse of the U.S.-backed government in Yemen. We have the whole thing going on in Syria still. We have the whole thing going on in Libya, which is much of it sectarian fighting between the Shia and the Sunni. And in many cases, we're on both sides of the fight.
We are.
It's crazy.
We are. And you're right. You used the term schizophrenic earlier when we were chatting, and that's what it is, because it's Obama's incompetence and ideologies and closed-mindedness and a desire to withdraw, and our allies in the Middle East know it. They don't trust him. That's why Saudi Arabia is in the fight in Yemen now, because it's right on their border and on their coast. Egypt's going to get in the fight. The Saudis don't trust us. They don't trust our catering to Iran. As you say, the Saudis are fighting Iranian-backed militia. While Kerry is negotiating with Iran, their leader is at a rally and says death to America, and he's not going to cooperate regionally with the United States. Obama, Valerie Jarrett is Muslim Iranian. She was born in Iran. She said when they got into office, now we're going to pay back. We're going to go after our opponents, IRS and other things. I wonder if she's going after Israel. Obama still is conducting his hate campaign against our ally Israel, the only democracy there. And he released secret classified information on the Israeli nuclear weapons program. But we talk about dissing an ally. And the Saudis are forming an international coalition with Egypt against Yemen and what you described there. And you're right, the State Department and Obama still says Yemen is our greatest success. It's absolutely schizophrenic, counterproductive, complex. But I think the Saudis are saying you're withdrawing from here. The Saudis agree with Israel, for crying out loud, on the dangers of Iran.
That's what I mean. It's schizophrenic.
And our administration is so ideological, so political, that they are withdrawing. People know it. They are contradicting themselves, as you say. It's really a mess there.
A mess is an apt word to use. And if you look at the overall conflict within the region, and you break it down to the sectarian violence, the sectarian split between Shia and Shiite, and the artificial
border. Shia and Sunni.
Sunni, right.
Yeah.
And the artificial borders.
You know so much, your computer tapes got mixed up. I got mixed up too.
The artificial borders put in place through colonial times, post-World War II, division, the Cold War, all of it's a mess. I mean, historically, it's a mess. But the two power centers have long been Persia and the Arab centers of the Sunni side of it, with the Persians leading the Shia side of it. And this has been mitigated through various, oil money, the Cold War, you name it. There's been different factors that have kept that conflict at bay. And it seems as if under this administration, through a variety of decisions and also else, there has to be an acknowledgement here as well. A lot of this is completely out of our control. We tend to think that we are the United States of America and we will bend the world to our will. And this is certainly a piece of humble pie right here, that it seems as if we're marching towards this, what could be a cataclysmic conflict within the Middle East between these two Muslim sects.
Sure, and the Saudis.
And it's scary as can be.
The Saudis are fully convinced we are allowing this Persian empire to expand. They don't trust us. In fact, Senator McCain said that a Saudi leader told him, we don't trust America's judgment anymore or knowledge. Who knows more about the Middle East, the Egyptian and Jordanian and Saudi leaders or Barack Obama? But Obama said, the Saudis said, we don't trust America as a friend, as a reliable friend. And they're taking action in Yemen militarily, so is Egypt, to go after the Iranian-backed rebels, because Yemen is right on their coast and right on the Gulf of Aden, the oil routes. I really don't think President Obama, I'd like to see his transcripts. I don't think he's well educated. I don't think he's well informed. Is he intelligent? Of course. Is he rhetorically skilled? Of course. I don't think he knows with information much outside his bumper sticker ideologies.
You know what's really crazy too, Tom, is that the Yemen situation certainly highlights it, because part of the danger of the Shiite forces taking over in Yemen, the militia, is that Yemen will become an Al-Qaeda stronghold. Al-Qaeda is aligned with Sunni.
Mm-hmm.
But Al-Qaeda hates the established monarchy of the Saudis
mm-hmm.
bad enough that they'll work with the Shia on this aspect in order to have a base.
Yeah.
It is. It's that it is, crazy.
As you said, schizophrenic. And the Saudi, what's going to happen if Iran gets the nuke, the Saudis will want the nuke. They'll probably get it from Pakistan. The Egyptians will want it. And by the way, speaking of nuclear, Iran is not providing access or information that is necessary. According to the International Atomic Energy Agency, they said Iran is still failing to provide information and access to allay the agency's concerns about weapons potential and secret nuclear programs. They are not cooperating.
2821234 is our number. Good morning. You're on KROC.
Is that me?
Yes, it is.
Well, I've had that second cup of coffee this morning, so my judgment is impaired.
Okay.
I'll be talking while under the influence.
Okay. Nice to hear. Yes, so we'll await your wisdom and humor now.
Well, I'm just, I have to pull myself together. I'm so broken up that the Saudis don't trust us anymore.
Yeah.
You know, these people who have public decapitations and treat women so poorly and who were so generously funding the Wahhabi clerics who I thought it was pretty well established that they were fanning the flames of anti-Western, anti-American. So I'm just brokenhearted about the Saudis.
But
you're right. It is a big mess, and it extends even further. I mean, look at Russia. You know, back 25 years ago, it was the Soviet Union. And Tom, I remember you saying that Condoleezza Rice had some input in helping them make the transition from communism to capitalism, and you know that really worked out well. That's very laudatory.
Well, they've become
the whole world.
They've become one big
mess.
Oil companies. Russia is basically Russia Inc. at this point,
right? And if you cause a little discomfort by those in power, you can wind up dead.
Oh yes,
mm-hmm. You know, at least here we only shout at each other.
Yeah,
and I was really wondering why I broke that tooth on the date pit back in December. And obviously it was because of President Obama. I'm glad you clarified things for me this morning. My goodness. Anyway, that's just my sarcastic bits.
Well, Tom, you know, never mind. The big thing on the internet now is if anything bad happens in the world, you put a sarcastic, thanks, Obama.
Yeah,
right.
As the tag. So I think that's what you're getting at there.
Well, whichever president you don't like,
okay.
Then you put that name in.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have views on? And we always enjoy your commentary, but hate to tell you that. But do you have any views on President Obama's? I'm going to say spite toward Israel, the only democracy in the Middle East, when he released nuclear secrets, almost like saying Israel has nuclear weapons. Why can't Iran have them? Do you have any qualms about Obama's treatment of Israel, or do you think it's necessary?
I don't know what the documentation is that he released. Israel's nuclear secret has been an open secret for ages. And as I recall, it was first brought to the world's attention by an Israeli citizen, unfortunately.
Pollard,
who spent time here, I believe.
That may be. I have to check that out. But it's definitely a huge mess, and I don't know what to say. I tend to be very cynical about politicians and their public stances towards Israel. It seems either that they're, which constituency are they catering to?
You know,
I don't like the ones who seem to, well, for lack of a better word, kiss up, who basically Israel can do no wrong and they are beyond criticism. However, there is the kind of sometimes not so fine line between outright anti-Semitism and anti-Israelism. So it's difficult to say.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Well, I'm going to have to run here, but
the interesting analysis. Thanks.
It is complicated. Thanks. Yeah, thanks for the call. And now I lost my train of thought. Oh, I know what it was before we go. France, interestingly enough, in the negotiations, seems to be holding the hard line on the Iranians.
Yeah.
It's like I said, it's crazy. The whole thing is crazy. We use Tuesday, right?
Yes.
Excellent. The mayor will be on Monday. Mayor Ardell Brady, Monday morning. It is already 11 o'clock at KROC AM Rochester. Time for ABC News.